Well, tonight we're going to be in John chapter 21. I love the way God puts things together. It is just so amazing. We are going to start in verse 15. And if you've got, you know, a lot of Bibles have where they have breaks in the chapter or at the beginning of the chapter, and they'll have a title. And mine, it says, Jesus Restores Peter. And I know that's where a lot of theologians put this, and I'm not saying that it's not true, but that's not where I'm coming from tonight. Because with what this whole week I've went through this passage and just what God has laid on me from a different angle than I've... Some of it is the same, but there's some different. And so if we look at this passage before we get into it from 15 on down to basically 19... Well, actually, I'll probably go farther than that. So anyway, but starting through this, there are three words in this passage that we know the word for love that's used is used in two different words. We know the agapeo word, which is a word for love that involves sacrifice. That's the biggest difference in this passage between the phileo, which is where we get the Philadelphia type of word, brotherly love, that type of understanding. But in this passage, it's not really talking about that. It's more talking about, it's a love, but it's a love that just falls just short of sacrificial love. Because the word phileo that it uses here in this passage is the exact same word that when it says God loves the Son, or the Son loves the Father, they use the phileo word as well there too. So sometimes we have the idea that the phileo word is just this flippant word for love, and it's really not. It's a very serious word, and Peter truly loved Jesus. The difference in this passage has to do with those two words is the sacrifice. Now there's two other words in this passage that sometimes are put in there, and depending on your translation, how you read it, one is, it will say sheep. Depending on your translation, it may say sheep three times, or it may say sheep, lambs, and sheep, depending on the three questions and the three responses that Jesus gives to Peter when he says, feed my sheep or feed my lambs. And so it's two different words for sheep and lambs. One meaning that second one is going to say lambs. And with that, it's the understanding that he's, or excuse me, it may be the first one. It's the first one. Where he says, feed my lambs, he's talking about nurturing of the young. Okay? And then the other word that sometimes doesn't ever get translated differently is, again, two different words, and that is the word for feed. But one time it's talking about feed where you would give the sheep something to eat. But the other time it's talking about tend my sheep. In other words, corral them, help them, keep them in line, like a shepherd would tend the sheep. And so one of the translations is that word, tend. And so there, that changes a lot in this passage. And so those three words we're going to discuss as we go through, but I just wanted to kind of explain the difference. In the original Greek text, they literally have different words that sometimes we just say feed, sheep, and love, and it's actually different Greek words with different meanings. So let's go ahead and let's ask a blessing on God's Word. Father, we just come to you now. We just pray that as you open your Word to us tonight, Lord, that we would just soak it in. Understand what it is you have for us. Lord, there's so much here, and I just pray that as we receive it, we receive it into our heart and our mind to apply it to our lives, that, Lord, as we go out of this place, we go out on fire for you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting in verse 15, it says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?'" There's a lot in that verse right there, in that phrase, because he didn't call him Peter. He called him Simon. He went back to his original name. He didn't, you know, he had told him his name was changed to Petros, the rock, Peter, but he goes back to Simon, son of Jonah, back to the original name that he was known by. And he says, "Do you love me more than these?" Now, there's a lot of debate out there. Is he talking about, do you love me more than these things? The boats, the fishing, the fish, your friends. Do you love me more than these things? Some scholars believe that's what it's talking about, because they had all went back to their old lifestyle. Jesus had been crucified, and they had heard of him. Some of them had seen him. And so now they're at a point of, well, what do we do? So they went back to fishing because that's what they knew, that's what they loved, that's what their life was. And so some scholars believe that when he says more than these, that they're talking about that. I believe it leans more towards this second one where he says, "Do you love me more than these?" He's saying, "Do you love me more than these disciples love me?" The reason I believe that's what it's leaning towards that is because Jesus looks back to when they were in the upper room. And he's talking about that everybody's going to scatter. And Peter says, "Lord, even if everybody else leaves, I'll never leave you." So in saying that, he's saying, "I love you more than they do." And so I think that's what it's talking about here when he says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He's bringing back that thought of, remember when you told me you'd love me more than these guys love me? If they would turn away and you wouldn't. And then what happened? You denied me three times. I think that's all in that statement. And so he asked him that question, and he says, "More than these." And he, being Peter, said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he left off the "more than these." I think there's a reason. I think he knew. I think he knew exactly what Jesus was saying, because if I'm standing here and I'm talking to somebody and they're right here beside me, I said, "Do you love me more than these?" And their response was, "You know I love you." And they leave off the "more than these." There's a reason. And so Jesus starts with that agapeo word, that "do you love me with sacrificial intent, with supreme commitment, with total commitment, do you love me to the point of sacrifice?" Jesus asks that type of question. That's the love he's talking about. Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," using the phileo word. "Lord, you know I love you with all my heart. You know I love you." But he doesn't say "more than these," but he also doesn't use that word of sacrifice. That word of basically meaning, "I will lay down my life for you." That's the agapeo word. It's a word between these two, like I said, it only separates by sacrifice. And Peter had claimed that if everybody else leaves you, I'll die with you. I'll sacrifice myself for you. And then when the time came, he did not do that. So he is at a point in his life here, in this conversation, I believe, where he's not willing to make that false statement again. Jesus, if I walk up to Donis and I said, "Donis, I love you," and she said, "Steve, I like you too," I'm going to notice a difference, right? And so if Jesus comes up and he says, "Do you agapeo me?" And Peter says, "You know I phileo you." Jesus is going to notice, but so is Peter. That's the key here, is sometimes scholars say that Peter just didn't love Jesus. He did. He just knew that he had made that statement once before to Jesus, that he would sacrifice himself. He would be there no matter what. And he just didn't have the heart to make that statement at this point. Because things are still pretty rough for Peter. And so he uses a different word. But even though he responds with a different word, don't miss what Jesus does. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Now you would think, in my normal conversation, in your normal conversation, if you would say to somebody, do you love me with all sacrifice? And they say, well, I really like you. Would you go ahead and give them the commission to feed my sheep? No. But Jesus did. Jesus, even though Peter responds with a completely different word that takes out all sacrifice, I'm not willing to sacrifice, so I'm going to just tell you I love you with all my heart. And Jesus still says to him, feed my lambs. I want you to nurture those that don't know me as well. And so when he tells him, feed my lambs, he's telling Peter, he's instilling in Peter that even though you're where you are, and maybe you're not where I want you to be, I want you to be at that agapeo me, and you're still at the phileo, I want you to know I can still use you. Because there are a lot of times when you and I, when we know we're not where God wants us, we feel like we can't be used. Well, God used a stick, and he used mud, and he used a fish, and he used spit. He can surely use us if we'll allow him to. But too many times we don't allow him to, because when we know we don't measure up to that agapeo that he's expecting or that he's asking for, we feel like we have to completely step back. But Jesus says, no, I still want you, Peter, to feed my lambs. I want you to look out for those that are not where you're at. Those that are immature in the faith. Those that are young. Those that just don't know me like you do. I want you to feed them. And so that's the first question, first answer, and then first instruction. Then he comes to him a second time. We don't know how long is between these, probably not very long. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Jesus left off the more than these. Okay? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Again, the same two words. Jesus uses the agapeo word. Peter uses the phileo. Jesus is not comparing him now, not trying to say, do you remember when you said you would sacrifice everything for me? Do you really want to sacrifice everything for me? Do you really love me that much? That was the first one. And so now he's looking at the second one, and it's more of a, what level of love do you have for me type of question. Because he still uses that sacrificial love word. Peter still answers the exact same. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Think about Peter's response so far. Both times the same. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. First time leaving off the more than these. This time the more than these wasn't there, but he still answers the same way. And we always think about that word phileo that he answers with in response to Jesus' agapeo word. But his response is, Lord, you know. You know where I'm at. You know that I love you. There was no doubt in his knowing that Jesus, not because he had just been around him, but because he knew Jesus was the Son of God, he knew that he knew the amount of love that Peter had. And so he responds, Lord, you know that I love you. And so he says to him, tend to my sheep. Okay, so we switched from lambs to sheep. This is more mature. That's a more mature animal in the flock. But it's a word tend. It's not necessarily feeding at this point, but it's tend. Corral, take care, discipline, work together to keep them in the flock. Do what you can to help them. A lot of times a shepherd, when they're tending the sheep, they're keeping the sheep from hurting themselves, keeping the sheep from wandering astray, keeping the sheep fed, keeping the sheep watered. All of those things are tied up in this when he says, tend my sheep. It's a complete different word from the feed my sheep. Okay? And so when he's telling Peter here, again, Peter answered with the phileo love, and Jesus still said, tend my sheep. I gave you one responsibility to nurture my lambs, those younger ones, those ones that are not as mature. And now I'm telling you, I want you to tend those more mature, those that maybe are where you're at, but tend them. Help them, watch over them. Do what's best for them. So Jesus again, even though Peter did not feel worthy enough to say the agapeo word, he still gives him something to do, to tend to my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? Now, this is where I think Peter, yeah, he understood. It's an acknowledgement of the fact that Peter had denied Jesus three times, and now Jesus has asked him three times. And I know a lot of scholars believe that's why there's three, and that may be so. I'm not disagreeing with it. But I think it finally begins because it changes how Jesus asked the question. Because Jesus went from using the agape word to using the phileo word. And so if I say, Donis, do you love me? And she says, you know, I really like you. And I say it again, Donis, do you love me? And she says, you know, I really like you. And then the third time I say, Donis, do you like me? And she says, I like you. Is she going to notice that? Yes. And so it's that same thing. He has come to the point of, I realize, Jesus is saying to Peter, I'm going to ask you if you really love me. Not if you'll sacrifice for me, because you've not been willing to say that. But do you really love me? Because this has got to bring back thoughts in Peter's mind of when somebody sat there at the fire that was in the courtyard and said, you're one of them. And he said, no, three times. Did he show any love at all for Jesus those three times? Not a bit. To totally deny him is to not show any love at all. And so now Jesus three times has asked him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And so that third one, I think, yes, it's to remind of the three times of denial, but I think it's also to say, do you really love me? Because you didn't show it in those three times you denied me. And so I think that's why it grieved Peter, because Jesus dropped from saying, do you love me to the point of sacrifice, or do you just love me with your emotions? And so it grieved Peter, broke his heart. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. So Peter is to the point of, Lord, you know everything. You're the Son of God. You know everything. You know that I truly love you. And again, it's that word phileo. And sometimes, like I said, it gets a bad rap because it is not the agape, but it is still a very, very passionate word in this sense. And he says, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, said to him, feed my sheep. So we went from feed my lambs to tend my sheep. Feed my lambs to tend my sheep to feed my sheep. So three different responses. First one is you need to nurture those young. Then you need to help discipline and help corral and help do what's best for those that are there with you. And then now you need to make sure that you do something to feed the mature. You need to make sure that you are giving to the mature what they need. You and I need to make sure that we give to other mature Christians what they need. Because sometimes we think, okay, we want to have a special thing for children's church and we want to make sure that we do certain things for this age and for that age. But you guys are all old enough, you know better. Fend for yourselves. Right? I mean, sometimes it's that mentality. If you can't get it on your own, by this time you should. Well, think about how a shepherd would have looked if he'd have said, okay, I'll take care of the little lambs, but those older ones, they should know better by now. They should be able to take care of themselves. And so Jesus is saying in that sense, you need to make sure you take care of everybody by feeding everybody. And so that's the part of tonight's that I want us to stop here for just a minute and kind of put some application in for us is one, Christ wants a sacrificial love from us. That's what He desires. And no matter what level you think you're at, it is about, yes, don't get me wrong here, it's about us loving Him, but more than anything, it's about Him loving us. I was listening to a podcast this week and it was a graduation ceremony, and I think it's Rick Warren was doing it. And he said, I have people all the time come up to me and say, my problem is I just can't love God enough. I just don't think I love God enough. And he said, that's not your problem. He said, your problem is you don't know how much God loves you. Because when you understand how much God loves you, then you will naturally fall in love with Him more and more. And that's what He desires. And so really, we get caught up in these questions, and yes, they're important, and yes, the phileo, and yes, the tend, and yes, the sheep versus the lambs, all those things are important. But we forget the fact that Jesus keeps saying, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. He wants to know that Peter loves Him. Why? Because He loves Peter. It wasn't just to find out who loves Him. It wasn't like, okay, I need to raise the hands, anybody that loves me type of deal. It wasn't that Jesus wanted to know just the fact that Peter loved Him, because He knew that. But the way He keeps responding to Peter is to say, you denied me three times, but I love you anyway. And I've got something for you to do because I love you. We get caught up in the questions sometimes of this passage, and we miss the fact that I think it's all about how much Jesus loves Peter. Let's go on. Things don't get any better. If he's not catching on by now, which he obviously does a little bit, I think, but maybe not to the full extent, things are going to get rougher for Peter. Verse 18, it says, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked with your where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. It says, this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. So basically what it's saying, Jesus has asked these three questions and he's given him something to do. To feed my lambs, to tend my sheep, to feed my sheep. And then after he says, feed my sheep, the last time he says, it's getting ready to get really bad for you. He says, when you were younger, you could go where you wanted. He said, I'm going to tell you how you're going to die. Because when he says you will stretch out your hands, basically that's the understanding of crucifixion. That's what he's talking about. You're going to die by crucifixion. There's going to be somebody that's going to tie your arms up. And then they're going to carry you to a point of where you're going to be crucified, where you don't want to go. That's what he's talking about. So he's telling him, do all of these things. Do you love me? He hears him say, answer, and he says, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He says, because I'm telling you, you do this now. You do those three things now because one of these days you're going to be crucified. It's going to get worse. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. If you really love me, you're going to follow me, but there's going to be a cost. You're going to end up being sacrificed. You're going to be crucified. And 20 takes place right after this, I believe. I know it's got a break and it talks about the end of the book, but there's something here we can't miss. It says, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who had also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? That was the question John asked in the upper room. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Don't miss this. Jesus tells Peter, it's going to get really bad. They're going to crucify you, but you follow me. And immediately it's like he takes his eyes off of Jesus. And he begins to look around. Peter is still having trouble here with that sacrificial thing. He could never answer the question with agapeo because he didn't know that he could. He knew when he was put under pressure, he did not respond the way he should have. He denied Jesus. And so he would never come out and say, I will have that love that is completely, totally supreme and sacrificial for you. He never came out and said that. Jesus says, things are going to get bad. Follow me. And Peter turns around and looks at John. He took his eyes off of Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus is sitting here looking at him and saying, follow me. And immediately he goes, what about him? Jesus had looked into him and he didn't know how to react. And so he takes his eyes, he turns around and takes his eyes off of Jesus. I think physically and probably spiritually as well. And what he does is he immediately, when he takes his eyes off of Jesus, what Jesus is calling him to do, follow me, he immediately looks at someone else. Well, what about that guy? Well, is he going to have to follow you? Is he going to have to do the same type of death that you just told me I'm going to have to go through? And you know, really, I thought about this week. That's kind of what we do. When we know God is calling us to do something, whether it's to verbally witness to someone or to go out of our way to do something that we know God is telling us to do, we begin to look away just a little bit and think about, well, is there somebody else I can get to help me? You know, what about asking John to help me? Or what about maybe if Andrew goes with me, it'll be a good thing. We kind of have that mentality. He takes his eyes off of Jesus. Now, was it because of worry? Was it because of stress, fear, lack of faith, desire? We don't know. But he had just told him that how he's going to die, and then he says, follow me. John looks away, Peter looks away, and he looks at John. We look at the way other people follow Jesus, and we want to compare. Are they having to go through as much as I am? And that's not what it's about. But that's what Peter did. And surely if Peter, the rock, that great preacher, that great friend of Jesus, if he messed up this bad and Jesus was okay with it, Not saying he was, but if that's what we think sometimes. And he messed up and he turned away and he compared and he asked about John, then surely I can get away with that too. Surely God's not going to call me to do something, and if I just look away and refuse or ignore it, is it going to be okay? Because it was for this guy, it was for Peter, and if I say that, that's the same thing Peter's saying about John. If God asks me to do something, and I say, well, Peter did this, Peter denied three times, so surely if I deny once, I'm good. Peter was told to do something, and he turned to John. Well, what about him? So we're doing the same thing. We're doing the exact same thing if we don't do what he's called us to do. And so Peter compares his following to John's. And so it's a struggle of doing God's will for his life still. It comes from the sacrifice to now following. It's all that type of deal. And so what does Jesus do when he says, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Man, wouldn't you like that response from the Son of God? It's like, well, what about him? That's none of your business. Have you ever had anybody tell you that before? I mean, you're asking somebody something and you're being sincere and you're wanting to be helpful and they say, that's none of your business. It's one thing when a boss or somebody says something like that to you, but when it's your Lord and Savior, that's like saying, that's none of your business. You do what you're told. I can remember my kids, well, Nathan didn't have to do that. That's none of your business. You do what you're told. I know how I felt as a parent. Can you imagine that discussion, that time between Peter and Jesus when he says, what is that to you? That's none of your business. And then he finishes with, you follow me. Again, let's look at through this last little bit here what Peter has done. He's taken his eyes off of Jesus. He's trying to compare. He's trying to do anything to get out of doing the will that God has for his life, that Jesus is telling him to do. And he gets reprimanded by Jesus with the, what is it to you? And man, how would that make you feel? But then immediately after that, he says, you follow me. All the times in this passage, he answers with the wrong word, the wrong love word, two times. And then the third time, it's dropped down to him, but he's been asked three times. And then he turns away, and then he asks about somebody else, and Jesus reprimands him. And even at the end of that, Jesus says, you just follow me. That's all you've got to do. Just love me and follow me. Why would he keep giving him that opportunity? Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, follow me, follow me. Why is he so persistent in telling Peter these things? It's because of his love for Peter. Even though Peter has all of these faults that we would probably call them, and the things that Peter is doing. And I'm not saying Peter's a terrible person for not using the right word and for turning away, but he's not perfect. And Jesus still says, I've got something for you to do. You just follow me. I love you. You just follow me. Don't worry about anybody else. Just follow me. That's all we have to do. And it's probably not going to get as bad for us as it did for Peter.
But it's not going to be good. We're going to go through some tough times. But in those tough times, we remember that He loved us. We need to love Him, and we need to follow Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, I wish we could understand. I wish I could understand how much You love us. Lord, when You call us to do whatever it is for each of us, Lord, open our eyes to see that it's because You love us. Give us the strength to do the tasks that You set before us, that You would be glorified, that You would be honored, that Your kingdom would increase. Lord, that it would always and forever be about You. Lord, we love You. We want to love You more. So help us understand how much You love us. In Your name we pray. Amen.